A very special program today, featuring America's Money Answers man, Jordan Goodman. The discussion focuses the current war in Ukraine and its impact on our economy, and specifically our energy costs and resulting inflation. We also have some information regarding the Springfield mayor and city councilors drawing mutual fire over the newly appointed police commission, and a beef jerky warning.
Pioneer Valley Radio is proud to present another installment of Brad Shepherd Today. Here's
Brad Shepherd.
It is Wednesday, April 9, 2022 at Pioneer Valley Radio, and I do appreciate you being with us for such a timely and important program. Here's today's inspirational wisdom. It comes from Susan B. Anthony, who said, "The older I get, the greater power I seem to have to help the world." The weather today, mostly cloudy. Snow develops mid-morning. Highs 38 to 42. Tonight, snow early on, clearing later on. Lows 20 to 26 degrees. Mayor Dominic Sarno states, quote, "This whole charade has been orchestrated by City Councilors Justin Hurst and Tracy Whitfield, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Commissioner Jackson is a beloved and well-respected community leader, especially in our African-American community. This year's Eubora Award winner has helped out so many people, families, and causes in their time of need. Under the guise of this mystery man, Jason Ray, and a few members of the local Massachusetts Senior Action Group being pushed by Hurst, Whitfield, and their Boston representative, they continue to try to create controversy and inflict harm to others for their own dishonest political gain. Their antics make me sick to my stomach. I proudly and steadfastly stand by Commissioner Jackson and all of the Board of Police Commission members." Councillor Whitfield has responded to this on her Facebook page with this statement. "I'm asking Mayor Sarno for a public apology. His comments about me are simply not true and very hurtful. Commissioner Robert C. Jackson is a longtime friend, a wonderful community leader and supporter of mine. I fully support Mr. Jackson's appointment to the Police Commission, and I personally think he's a great choice. I've already contacted Commissioner Jackson to inform him that the mayor's insinuations are 100% untrue, invalidated, and destructive. There is nothing more than another attempt by the mayor to divide the black community. Mayor Sarno, if you have any evidence of my involvement, produce it. Otherwise, apologize. The mayor may continue to criticize me, attempt to marginalize me, but he will never silence me in the end. The truth and the facts are my best defense." Jordan Goodman joins us next, but first, a California company has issued a recall for 83 of its beef jerky products that may be, quote, "adulterated with Listeria monocytogenes," unquote. The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has announced that Boyd Specialties, LLC of Canton, claims the recall affects 1,634 pounds of jerky shipped to retail locations in Alabama, California, Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Texas. The affected products came in 15 different flavors and were sold under more than 20 different brand names. So far, nothing reported in Massachusetts, but our Connecticut neighbors may want to take note.
Could world events be more active and suspenseful than they are right now? And of course, this has a gigantic effect on our economy, right down to our wallets. And here is America's Money Answers man to put some of this in perspective for us. Inimitable Jordan Goodman. Jordan, welcome back to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Great to be with you, Brad.
Where do we begin? I mean, do we go macro or micro?
Well, let's talk about the implications of the Russian invasion of Ukraine on the economy and the markets. On the economy, clearly we have dramatically higher oil and other commodity prices. Oil is over $125 a barrel. Looks like we're going to have an embargo on Russian oil by America and possibly Europe, which is going to create a shortage. Russia produces a total of about 10 million barrels a day, but 4.5 million barrels of exports. And if that is embargoed and not taken on, then there's a shortage. The rest of the world does not have 4.5 million barrels to make up. Even if Saudi Arabia and UAE and Kuwait and other places produce more in the short term, we just can't make up that difference. Now, part of the problem is the United States has reduced its own exploration development. So we're producing a lot less than we did before. So that's made us more subject to the situation. So that means that prices are going dramatically higher. I think well over $150 a barrel. And as far as how that translates to the pump here, we've just recently gone over $4 a gallon. I think we're going to go over $6 a gallon and perhaps $8 a gallon by the summer. I mean, the current price of $4 or so a gallon at the pump is reflecting maybe $85 a barrel, something like that. Nothing close to 120 plus. So you're going to have to see, and that's going to affect the U.S. economy. Travel, people are going to, in summer vacations, going to stay closer to home and not travel as much. It affects transportation, like trucking and airfares. This is just going to roll its way through the economy, these higher gas prices.
Absent the issue of the war, which is in and of itself, this is a sledgehammer blow to this administration because of the impact, the ripple effect, as you've just delineated, on the economy, and not to mention the walloping inflation that we were dealing with before the troops quit.
Correct. You're 7.5% consumer price inflation, about 10% wholesale before all this happened. This is probably going to put consumer inflation over 10%, which is the highest in 40 years. And it's not only oil. For example, wheat has gone up 60% in the last month or so. Aluminum, platinum, all kinds of components for cars and semiconductors, and just across the board, Russia produces a lot of materials that, you know, we need, and in many cases can't be found anywhere else. And Ukraine has always been considered the breadbasket of Europe, the major producer of wheat. So yes, it's beyond oil, and so you're going to be a real spike in inflation on top of already hot inflation. And what does that mean? The Fed Reserve is going to have to raise interest rates at a faster pace to try to offset that. Now, they've got their meeting on March 16th. They're clearly going to raise rates. Now, people say, are they going to do a quarter point or a half point? On one hand, they'd like to do a half point because inflation is just taking off like this, but they're concerned about the markets, and they're also concerned about the deflationary impact of the war. It means far less economic activity. So they don't want to push it too far. But the Fed Reserve is clearly going to be on the warpath raising interest rates. I mean, the current situation is pretty amazing right now. You have 7.5% consumer inflation about to go up to 10%, and the Fed Reserve still has interest rates at zero. That's like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So you're going to see rising interest rates, and that means for the consumer, rising interest rates on credit cards and mortgages and consumer loans and student loans and just the whole interest rates that you're going to have to pay are going to be going up. So that's just some of the implications of the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Can we do anything, in your view, to offset some of this and to reduce the sting in some of this as we move forward?
Well, I mean, a policy decision was made when Biden came in to reduce energy, domestic energy production. That should be reversed. It's not instant. But, I mean, it's not only production, but it's distribution. I mean, we killed the Keystone XL pipeline. We've taken all public lands off of lease from oil and gas. We are a very energy-rich country, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot, as far as I'm concerned, by not fully exploiting the resources we have. Now, I'm all for worry about climate change and all that. That's great, and I wish we had solar cars and, you know, windmill airplanes and things. But meanwhile, back to realitiesville, we need oil and gas to run the economy that we have today. Maybe 50 years from now, we'll have hydrogen cars or something. But we're really hurting ourselves by cutting down production. That's what could be done, is make us more energy independent. We were energy independent before.
Yes.
And because of these policies, we are not energy independent. And that's a direct impact. That's one of the reasons the prices at the pump are going to be going up so dramatically here.
So the fact, Jordan, the fact that we proved in the previous years that we could be energy independent, and we were, that means that some degree of solution is within our grasp. It is possible. Do you see those policies being reversed in this time of an emergency when America is going to slow down in its tracks with $8 a gallon at the pump? Do you see the impetus for that being extreme enough to come to pass?
No. In the State of the Union, President Biden said he wants to redouble our efforts on climate change. which, as far as he's concerned, means shutting down oil and gas distribution and exploration production. So the policy is do more solar and geothermal and windmills and less oil and gas exploration. So, I mean, this is going to have a political impact on him. I think people are going to hold it against him come the midterms and say, I don't want to be paying $8 a gallon at the pump. That's really going to hurt him politically. So but his higher priority is climate change, which is a problem, but it's a long-term problem. We have a short-term shortage issue here.
Well, you know, I don't want to turn our segment here into preaching in any direction, but you have to settle and get your arms around what the immediate problem is and what the most egregious problem is at the moment, and that is the whole country slowing right down to 20 miles an hour when you have goods and services that are going to slow down and not even be able to be delivered because of the price of gasoline. What impact is it going to have on trucking?
Well, you can see the price of trucking is going up, and this is going to be reminiscent of the late 1970s, where you had an oil shock where not only did the price go up, but you had a shortage of supply. And, I mean, those of us remember, you had odd and even license plates. Remember that? You could only fill up with your license plates because there was just such a shortage. You had lines around the block. We could have that again because of the shortage. I mean, again, the Russian oil cannot be made up for in the short term by others. So we're going to have a shortage around the world of oil and gas and higher prices. And that works its way. So when you go to the grocery store, you're not only buying a loaf of bread, you're buying the transportation to get the loaf of bread there. And that's going to go up. We're going to have fuel surcharges for FedEx and airlines and cruise ships. And it's just going to roll its way through the economy in a very dramatic way.
Let me remind you of something else. You mentioned the odd and even license plates. And yes, I remember it. 1973 and 1974 are very clear in my memory. It wasn't just that. Do you remember how hard it was to even find an open gas station near your home?
What people used to do is they would find out the routes of the tanker trucks, and they would follow the tankers to the gas station they were going to get gas. I mean, this is crazy that we're going through this right now, but that we may do that again.
You had people waiting on those lines, and I remember seeing them playing cards on the hoods of their vehicles, you know, just waiting. And I remember how hard it was to find a gas station that was open on a Sunday or even on a Saturday. It was a 5-day-a-week thing. Anyway, enough about that. We have outlined the problem, I think, very clearly.
Indeed. And then there's just the whole disruption in the financial system. I mean, Russia has been cut off from the SWIFT system, which is the banking system. The ruble plunged. Basically, it's now worth about 1 cent. Just if you look at a chart, it's like falling off a cliff, basically. All American companies are withdrawing from Russia, all of them. You know, whether it be MasterCard and Visa, American Express, IBM, McDonald's. I mean, when you next go to Moscow, you're not going to be able to get a McDonald's. This is really getting rough then.
Well, that's not going to be a problem for me, but I understand. You can't cancel my trip to Vladivostok, too. But I know that's what's going on. The governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, just decreed that the state of Massachusetts will no longer do business with Russia in any state office or entity at all. Done.
And that's true across the economy. Russia, it's the economic impact of a nuclear bomb having dropped on Russia, wiping out, they're going to go into poverty economically, and politically they're going to be a pariah state like North Korea. It's incredible. In a month, they have completely destroyed their image for the long term.
It's amazing to me, Jordan, to consider that Putin is isolating Russia in 2022 even more than it was isolated in the old USSR.
Yeah. I mean, his only savior is China, which is not too happy about the way things are going here. I mean, China wants a world economy that's growing, that it can export to. And this is disrupting the entire world. They don't like much higher oil and gas prices. That's very expensive for China. They do not like all this disruption going on. And so Putin's really pushing. I mean, he met with Xi right before the Olympics, and they said their friendship knows no bounds or something like that. There are no limits to how much they can cooperate. Well, they're going to be pushing those limits because China is not at all happy with how this is turning out, and they're going to be the last bankroller of Russia. They're creating their own SWIFT system, for example, their own financial system to be able to transact that way. The oil that Russia's not going to be able to sell to the West, they're probably going to sell to China. This is going to cause problems for China as well as its own image. It's very careful about its image around the world. It does care what people think about it, unlike Russia, which doesn't seem to care at all. I think it also may forestall them attacking Taiwan. They were thinking, oh, well, they'll take Ukraine in a week, and we'll take Taiwan in a week. I don't think that's going to happen as much anymore either.
At the end of the day, when you look at the money, which is essentially what you and I are doing in this conversation, the fact of the matter is that if Russia and Putin cause an incredible mess in Europe in the coming year where people can't even heat their homes and are going to freeze to death, China is losing its customer base in many pockets. They're going to lose their high-paying customers in the West and in Europe. And they can't be thrilled with that. For what? So that Putin can hold on to Ukraine.
Exactly. So, I mean, they do have somewhat of a power. I mean, they were made very clear before this happened that he was going to invade Ukraine and they had to use their leverage, but they didn't do it. They basically have been kind of standing neutral. I think of the United Nations, they voted absent or present, kind of abstained on denouncing this. So we don't even know all the implications of what's going to happen, but major shifts are happening here economically, politically, and militarily in a world we don't even recognize from a month ago.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to say this very succinctly. Jordan and I have talked extensively about the more exigent matter at present, which is the ripple effect of the economy right to your doorstep of what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. And beyond that, I will remind everybody that Jordan will have tips for you if you're interested on what you can do in the economic firestorm ahead to save money when gasoline continues to skyrocket, when goods and services continue to skyrocket, when the inflation that we were hoping would slow down, obviously it's not going to. When you go on to moneyanswers.com, which is the way to reach Jordan, and if you're interested in communicating with him directly, he's very good about responding to email from Western Mass. I think that about covers it, Jordan.
A changed world indeed from the last month, Brad, yes.
Yeah, and not for the better. All right, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man, thank you for being with us exclusively in Western Mass on Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you, Brad.
Jordan appears in Western Mass on Pioneer Valley Radio exclusively, and we do appreciate him being with us. And thank you very much for being on our program today. We encourage you to join us for tomorrow's show. We may have a special appearance by our ArtSpeed reporter, Mark Auerbach. Our program will be up during the day and night and available to you on demand here at Pioneer Valley Radio. I'm Brad Shepherd. We will talk again.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2022.
All rights reserved.